One night in the beginning of a visit with Miss Guthrie and Suzanne, this Thursday, the 9th of March, 72, at lunch. Channel One Right, beginning the visit with Miss Guthrie and Suzanne, this Thursday at lunch, the 9th of March, 72. Channel One Right, beginning the visit with Miss Guthrie and Suzanne, this Thursday at lunch, the 9th of March, 72. Channel One Right, beginning the visit with Miss Guthrie and Suzanne, this Thursday at lunch, the 9th of March, 72.
Lord help us. Well, I was hoping to fix him up. I made him some salad. Sit down.
You did?
I sure did.
Is that Mr. Miles out there on the track?
No.
That was, yeah.
I was fixing you right there and beat him up. Anybody looked as nice as he did.
You think he ought to wear that hat?
Yes, ma'am. I'd make him wear that hat all the time.
Would you really?
Well, I would.
Well, I tell you, somebody might run off with him.
But I wish you could hear what Miss Dodd said.
What did?
I called her last night and I said, Miss Dodd, I want to tell you something.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I said, I want you to be very careful how you mess around my boyfriend. She said, what in the world do you mean? I told her about Mr.
Yeah, she go.
About Mr. Miles, how nice she looked. I said, you know, that's the first time I ever seen him with a little hat on like that. And I said, he really looked nice. I thought, really, I didn't know who he was. And she laughed.
Well, it does change his looks.
Don't it, though?
That cute little brim?
Uh-huh. You know, I try my best. I tried to get Marvin to buy one last summer, one of these your little straw hats. And he thought I was making fun of him. And he said, why, that make me look like an idiot. I said, well, that's what I want you to look like.
Nice looking idiot.
Did I hear somebody?
You sure did.
I got shot there.
Mr. Miles, that really looks nice on you.
You know who I saw wearing a hat like this?
Who?
And I didn't know whether I could stand it or not. Old Brazington, up there at the Cadillac place.
Well, that's the kind of hat you need to wear.
Old J.J., he come out there one day with a hat on like this and his ears sticking out, you know, little old narrow brim hat like that. And I thought to myself, Bud, you must have gone just stark mad.
Well, you know, that's about all the kind you can get.
All the kind you can get. You know where I got it? J.M. Fields.
Well, it looks nice on you. I didn't know who you were last night. I thought it was Corey Whitworth, and I started to close the door. I called Miss Dodd last night about 9 o'clock, and I said, I want to tell you something. She said, mm-hmm. I said, I want you to be very careful how you fool around my boyfriend. She said, what? What do you mean? Miss Miles is going to kill us.
I'm just glad somebody's actually looking decent, because usually it doesn't.
I didn't know
what. And I told her about it, and I said, Miss Dodd, he really did look nice. She said, wait a minute, I got to go tell Burner. And she put the phone down.
Well, you know, I thought I had to play with the dogs a right smart while yesterday after I drove up.
I thought you weren't even home.
The door was open.
You weren't sure you wanted to be home.
Well, you know, I didn't see you, but I saw him, and I thought it was Coy Whitworth. and started not to go to the door. Because I just don't want to have nothing to do with him because I know what he is. And then I recognized Mr. Miles said something, I recognized it's him. But this your little hat, that's a making of you. It does, it looks nice on you.
Well, my friends don't even know me.
That's going to be hard on him, Miss Mary, when his friends won't open the door if he's got that hat on.
I haven't heard of Coy Hoodgrass.
You haven't?
Mm-mm.
Well, he's a man that come down that Cross Creek, you know. And he's a man that started Cross Creek off. And he went broke, and he ain't nothing but a drunkard.
Oh, he's still there?
No, he's been gone. He lost his shirt.
Go ahead and fix it for lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all go ahead and talk.
He lost his shirt off of his back. And his wife quit him, and he's been in the institution and just got out. And they say he's a dope peddler, a dope fiend. And he tried to get $600 out of me. Oh, that's right after Mr. Guthrie died. And I said, who, me? I need somebody to let me have $600. I said, where do you think I could get $600? Oh, he said, you've got it. And he says, I said, I just ain't got no $600. That's just all he is to it. So he never did have no more to do with me. But the other evening, I went home, and there was a note on the door from him. And he'd been in and out at the hospital, and he was up at some hotel, and he in room 117, and he wanted me to call him. I ain't called him, and I ain't going to, because I don't want him around me.
Well, now, he goes way back?
Mm-hmm.
Way back before your time?
Oh, no. No. But he come to Cross Creek, and he was a big shot. Old Uncle Joe McKay used to live there. And Uncle Joe, some of his nieces or some of his family married Whitworth. And they owned a lot of land. And the way I understood it, Silver Springs Gardens or something set him up. He had an office down there, and he sold land, and he built houses. And he went around, and he made his brags that Willie Guthrie had to get his cows off of Orange Lake. He was going to see that Willie Guthrie's cows didn't eat the hyacinths off of Orange Lake. We never said a word. First news we know, Whitworth was gone. He went busted. He just drank and talk. Ask Miss Glisson about him.
I never see her. You ever see her?
Mm-hmm. I seen her last Sunday. I went to a sing.
To what?
A sing at Island Grove. And I've seen them.
Well, what do you know? I didn't know they had a sing at Island Grove.
Yeah, you didn't hear it advertised on the radio?
No.
Oh, man, they had one. Had a big dinner out there and a sing.
Well, I'll be that burned.
At Island Grove Baptist Church.
I know where that is.
And had singing groups from all over the state.
Well, where was we, Faye?
Well, I was just thinking. Where were we that day?
Anywhere. Last Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Last Sunday.
Did you ever listen to the phone? I mean, to the radio?
I never heard it. Don't listen to it. But I wish I had, because I've never been to one.
Well, it naturally was good.
I wish we wasn't
on opposite telephone.
Now the 18th, I believe, the 18th, they're going to be at they announced it that day. They're going to, what in the world is the name of the church? You know where Henry's Liquor Store is, the other side of Hawthorne?
Yeah.
You know where that is?
Yeah.
Well, you turn right there and go.
Butler's Store. What is that store? Watson's Store. I don't know it. It's school. Oh, go ahead.
They announced it. And they said, go to Henry's Liquor Store, but don't stop there. Turn to your left. I can't think of the name of the church, but it's about
the church.
I know it.
That's where the opera people have been. That's where your friend has been. She had big things out there herself.
And showed pictures.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Marvin and I went with her.
Yeah. You know, I never have seen them pictures.
You have. Well, you missed something. You sure have.
Will they have a big table there, too? Hmm? Will they have a big table there, too?
Do they sing?
Yeah.
I don't think. They didn't say anything about it. They just going to have us. They might. I don't know. But they might.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, before we get off on these things, did you show Suzanne what they done to your roof?
Yeah, and Suzanne was there when the man come. We was out there looking at the roof when he come.
I'm sorry I missed that.
And I carried him in there and I told him, I said, come in here, I want to show you something else. I want to show you my kitchen floor.
Yeah.
That ought
to be. Your kitchen floor?
Mm-hmm. It rained in there and the tiles weren't.
Well, now, what got me was that border.
That border. I showed it to him, didn't I?
Yeah, we went all the way around.
I carried him around there, and I said, I want you to look in here on the eve of this house. I said, I told that man that I wanted that fixed. I said, this is where everybody comes in, and I wanted it fixed. Even if I had to pay extra for it. I said, look at there. Would you like that around your house like that? And I carried him in the kitchen and I made an ass of myself. I went to bawling and I told him I'd worked darn hard for that and I'd been taken. He said for me not to pay him a penny, not a penny, but he was going back and he was going to talk to Mr. Williams and Mr. Williams would call me and Mr. Williams would come out there.
Well, you know that, Suzanne, did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
That
just everything's all mismatched.
And I told him, I said, I don't want them men back out here to my place. I said, that bunch of hippies don't know nothing about carpenter, didn't I, Suzanne? I said, if I can't get somebody else out here to fix something besides them, I don't want them out here. And I mean it. And he called me up and told me this morning that it was $50 more. And I asked him, I said, you told me $50 more. What is the $50 more for? I said, they didn't put in any woodwork. I said, they had some stuff they brought out here and they had it piled up out there and they come and got it and hauled it away. Marvin's got every piece of it marked down. They didn't put any woodwork in my house.
And that fellow came out today didn't know about it. Seemed like.
That's right.
But they hadn't used it.
But they haul that stuff away. It lay right out there in the backyard for 3 weeks, and people come there and seen it. And the day that they come and got it, I asked them, I said, please come back now and put their, what do you call it? That finishing to it around the rim.
Yes.
I said, I want to get my awnings up. I said, I got $66 worth of awnings that I bought from Sis Roebuck lying around there, and my floors were ruining. And they didn't come back till late Sunday evening and spent about 30 minutes. And I told them so.
That was shabby, that ledge around there.
Listen, don't you tell this on me. But I told him, I said, Dr. Miles come by here yesterday evening, and he told me he lives, got a farm down at Evanston, and I said, he told me his house was just pouring. And I said he wanted to look at my house, and he thought maybe he'd get Sears Roebuck to fix his, and I told him, I said, go around and look at mine, and he told me, hell no, he didn't want it. That's what I told Dennis Suzanne. I said, he said, hell no. He said he didn't want no such a job as that on his house.
And that wasn't the only person who'd been out there and seen.
That's right. That's what I told him. I said, Marvin's brother right across the field, and they did. They told us that their house pours. And they wanted him to fix theirs. Pat said, heck no, said he'd never fix his house. Diane Boltnight come up there to take up flowers, money, for Ms. Bass when she died. And she said that she's going to get Sis Roebuck to fix her house. And Donald, he seen it, and he said, you know, they wouldn't never fix one for him.
That looked like they hadn't hardly learned to carpenter, the way they put up that border.
They ain't no carpenter. I told a man, I said, that ain't nothing but a bunch of hippies. They ain't no carpenter.
Well, I told her, I said, Jim's not a carpenter, but he know enough to even
a Martin could do it. I'm going to have it took down. I ain't having it up there like that.
Well, you ain't got any choice.
No, I stopped up yonder and I showed that house, that colored woman's house it was built. And showed it to Suzanne.
What's his name?
And I told Suzanne, I said, now Suzanne, that's the way a house belongs to be fixed. They think I ain't got no sense.
Yeah, they figure they can get away with it. Well, now, that's just what you was trying to get away from.
That's right.
There on the side there, where people drive up, you got the boards, stone mats. They're narrow on one side and wide on the other.
Well, Mr. Miles's board on the gable end, that one end of it was rotten off. And I told him, I said, I want that board took out. And I want another board put in there. And I if it's extra, I'll pay for it. The nails is pulled out that far apart, and they didn't even move that board. And up on top of the board, it split off, and a great big crack there. Ain't it, Suzanne?
Mm-hmm. Big gap.
I showed it to them.
I didn't see that.
No, you didn't see that, but that's on the... on the gable end of the house, I'd call it.
Yeah.
Lord of mercy, I'm going crazy.
Well, I thought you had such good luck with Sears.
I always have. And I'll bet you one thing, I'll bet you if I was to make a phone call to Atlanta, Georgia, I bet you that I'd roust up something. And I just might do it too.
But Suzanne, they got that border there, up there on the, up above the kitchen end, you know.
Yeah.
That is the worst place. It's narrow to start with, and then they put a thick board there. And then they got, what is that little,
that little strip of metal they got.
What do you call stuff on the car? Silver stuff.
Chrome. Yeah.
It looked like they got a little chrome on there. Well, just a little narrow strip.
Well, they have, but then that's supposed to be on there if it's put on there right. And then that other board is supposed to sit right under that.
Well, they didn't even put that on right, did they?
No, they didn't. They ain't nothing right about it, but they think I'm too dumb to know.
I'll bet you, if you go to the next place, you'll find they do the same thing there.
I bet you so, too.
They must think we're all dumb.
Mrs. Geiger told me, before she left here, she said, go to Sis Roebuck. She said, Sis Roebuck will do it and do it right. Well, Mr. Miles, would you think that a bigger company as Sis Roebuck would do a job like that? That man told me, that same Willis that come in there and stood up in the kitchen floor and told me he'd make things right, told me and Marvin, he said, I'll give you a 17-year written guarantee. And he said, if anything goes wrong, he said, we'll be right there to fix it. Well, what more could you ask of anybody?
You had two big rains.
Two big floods.
Two floods. And they hadn't... And they haven't got to the roof yet.
Yeah, they come out there late Sunday evening and got up there and done something. And I ain't had near flood since.
We hadn't rained since.
But it didn't rain hard.
Yeah.
It didn't rain hard enough to flood.
Oh, that was for the roof that they come for. They didn't bother that trim.
Yet they put that there board around there.
Oh, they done that Sunday?
Yeah.
All in 30 minutes.
I don't know whether they were out there 30 minutes or not. And Marvin stood out there, and he lit. And he lit, and he didn't open his mouth. And I give him heck about that, too.
Well, let me tell you. Now, don't you let on to Marvin out there.
Oh, heck no.
But, now, this is not Marvin. This is old Willie Chitty. Willie Chitty was helping me out here one time. And I wanted to get these this electrical breaker box. I wanted to get it away from the house. If the house caught on fire, then I'd put it out there, you see, and I'd have electricity long enough to squirt water. But if it stays right in here, you see, it'll knock out the electricity, and I won't have anything in it.
In
the pump. In the pump.
Not in some of that.
Well, sir, they didn't know what they were doing. Florida Power. And Willie Chitty, he had fixed it, got that pole out there, right there in the middle of them flowers. And he let them, I was ignorant, and he just stood there and let them go ahead and put it in here and not put it out there. You see, they didn't attach it. He did the attaching, but he let them put the cable up there in the wrong place. Well, there it was. I guess we could have done it all over again, you see. But I didn't have the... Well, I just too ignorant, I guess.
Well, you know, Marvin wouldn't have said ne'er a word in the world. He had went and engaged a painter. He was supposed to come out there today. Well, it's late Saturday evening, you know. I was busy fixing supper. I had to cook up some peas and butter beans and fix something for him to have lunch. I didn't get out there. Well, Monday morning, I got out there and I looked at it. He'd already engaged this painter to come out there and paint around the eaves of the house so we could get the awning up to keep the rain out of the door. You know, I got a bill, $1,966, and then he called me up just before I come out here, and it was $50 more. You know, Marvin wouldn't have done a thing in the world but just march himself over to the bank and get the money, carry it up there and get a receipt, and there wouldn't have been a thing said. And this morning, I tell you, I walked the floor, got up at night and drank coffee till I'm a nervous wreck. I'm almost ready for the hospital. I told him, I said, you go in there and you get on that phone and you call that carpenter, that painter, and you tell him not to come out here because I ain't having it like that. I'm not having it. Well, he said, sugar, he said, that they done what they said. I said, no, they didn't do what they said they'd do.
What did you say last night? Marvin wouldn't let you cuss?
Hmm?
What did you tell Faye last night? You said, Marvin, this all happened, he wouldn't let you say nothing about it.
Yeah.
Well, you got men out there yourself, you are.
Mr. Miles. I told him, I said, I'm going to call him up. That was Monday morning.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to call him up. I'm going to tell him what I think about him. No, now I'm supposed to tend to that. I said, are you going to tend to it? Yeah, I'm going to tend to it. So I said, oh, okay. I said, you better call me back and tell me what you said to them and what they said to you. He called me and he said that Mr. Willis wouldn't be in there till 12 o'clock, but he's going to call him again. I said, okay. I said, if you don't, you're going to pay a telephone call to Atlanta, Georgia. So he called me and he said he talked to Mr. Willis. I said, what did Mr. Willis say? And he said, it didn't suit me. And I got so mad and I throwed that receiver down and I dialed it and I got Mr. Willis. And I said, Mr. Willis, I am in a hell of a mess out here. And I've been for 3 weeks. And I bawled him out to fare you well. And I said, I ain't gonna call you no more. I said, this is my last telephone call to Cicero Buck in Gainesville, but the next one is gonna be to Atlanta, Georgia. I said, I had a friend down here visiting from South, and she told me not to bother you, to call Atlanta. And I said, that's what I'm gonna do.
So he come on out?
No, he told me, he said, I'm going to wait just a minute. He said, give me a few minutes and I'll call you back. But I stayed in there the whole evening long and he never did call me. So then when the next day I called him, I said, Mr. Willis, how come you didn't call me like you promised you? Miss Williams didn't call you? I said, no. Didn't nobody call me. And he said, well, she will. So I said, well, it don't make much difference to me whether she does or not because I'm going to call Atlanta anyway. But pretty soon she called me. Miss Hawkins just hadn't drove up. She called me. And I bawled her out. I told her about my kitchen. You ought to go in there and look at my kitchen floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tall. Parts of it just come off.
And I told her, and she said, Miss Townsend, it happens all the time, and we're going to reimburse everything. They're going to reimburse it. They reimburse Marvin for $50 more, and he ain't got no better sense than he'd pay it, too, if I let him.
Yeah. Well, now, you going to keep that in your pocket?
I hope to. That ain't all about it. I called Andy Atkins yesterday and talked to his wife. And she told me, she said, call him back today.
Yeah.
I didn't tell them that. She told me, she said, he'll be in all day tomorrow. I might just call him. When I go back home, I'm going to call him and talk to him.
And that's your lawyer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Miles, I'll spend another $1,000 to keep to show them that they can't do me like they any old kind of a way. If I'd have wanted a nigger job, I'd have went and hired one.
Yeah.
You should have hired that old man.
Sure I could have. Miss Miles is going to run me off if I don't keep my mouth shut.
Well,
I'd be madder than you, Miss Harry.
No, she is.
I'm so mad I don't even feel like, I feel like cussing more than you do. I think it's terrible.
Dad.
Yeah, and all that big money, you see, you didn't get a cheap job.
I didn't get a cheap job.
You paid for something.
$1,966, and then they added $50 more to it. Good grief.
But just a little.
And they ain't putting their piece of wood in there. Except what they were supposed to, and that is the ply board that they put the shingles on. And that there rim, that pretty rim around the house.
That rim,
looks like they picked up pieces of wood this house and that
they
house.
They did.
And just stuck it up on your house.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm going crazy.
Well, you see, I thought, if you're going to pay the money and get it from Sears, you'd be all right. What worried me was that you couldn't find someone to do it and save $500, you see.
That's right. But, Mr. Miles, I'll tell you something else, what I thought about it. If I go out here and I pick up some kind of a little carpenter, I ain't got nothing to fall back on.
No.
But Sears Roebuck, I thought I had somebody to back me up, and he said, now you heard what he said. Mm-hmm. He's going to back me up.
That's what he said. He said there's no excuse for this kind of job.
Well, you thought they were doing the roof all right.
Well, as far as I know, I ain't complaining about the roof. Only hit this ruined my bathroom. It poured in my bathroom. And outside of that, well, I ain't complaining, but it's around. You know, between the big body part of the house there where the heater is,
yeah,
and that little room. Well, Mr. Miles, there's a big wide board up there. And one end of it was rotted off. And I asked them men, and I told Marvin, I said, stand out there, Marvin, and watch them and see that they put that board up there. You know what they done? They got a piece of tar paper and stuck it in there. And I showed it to him, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I told him about it.
And he said, didn't look like the board could go in there, didn't he?
Didn't look like the water would go in there.
No, the board would go in there.
The board was in there. The board was in there. It's been in there. And the end of it was rotted off. Lord have mercy, I get into it every way I turn.
Well, you have lately. You sure have.
Every way in the world I turn.
Well, let me tell you something. This will make you, might console you a little bit. You know, I've had it up and down out here, and everybody takes me. Oh, they take me bad. Even when I'm looking at them. Well, let me tell you. One day I went up to the office on the campus. And I had been worked over, and I felt like I was coming apart, and the thing was on fire. And it turned out to be the room where I was going to have a class. And I just sat down there and said to myself, well, I'll be damned, ain't that nice? Let her burn down. I don't have to touch it. And that was the most relief that I have had.
Well, Marvin said, you talk too loud. I said, I know I do, but it's my nerves. It's just such a aggravating things that aggravates me like that. I paid a man $365 to go in there and fix my front room, put that tartan gold floor on it, and it was guaranteed. And everybody told me, oh, that was a thing to do. And that son of a gun wouldn't even speak to me. Miss Dodd had a sample of it, and she even tried to get him to go out to her house because she called him up and made out like she wanted to get him to fix her floors in her new house, and that sapsucker wouldn't go out there because he smelled a rat.
Well, if you can laugh at it, but it's hard to do.
Well, Miss Mary, you've got a good set of teeth.
It's a good set of teeth.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I sure have.
You got your money's worth that kind of
thing. I think so, did. And I met the man the other day coming out of the post office. And he spoke to me and he said, hello, how are you? And I looked at him and I thinks to myself, well, who in the devil are you? And I went on and I thinks, well, now I seen that man somewhere. But I couldn't place him. Come tell me it was dentist.
And he had given you your money's worth and even remembered you.
Yeah, he had remembered me.
That's something.
Yes, sir. Sure did. I'm sure he spoke to me.
God almighty. Never
well, that's
home.
Something today he spoke to.
He sure
took your money and still speaks to.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he told me.
Well, you ain't got any reason to be ashamed to speak to you.
When he told me, I called him up and I told him, I said, talk to the nurse. And I said, my mouth's so sore, I can't chew. She said, come right on in. And I went on in and I said, I hate to bother y'all. She says, that's what we're here for. Said, don't you hesitate anytime. Anything goes wrong with them, to call us. Now Miss Miles has fixed our dinner and she's late.
Oh, she just took lunch into her mother. She's got hers over there. Well, upstairs, I said, it looked to me like they didn't hire their own people to do that job. They just went out and found somebody.
They did?
Yeah, had a crew.
Her mother kind of stays in the other room like kind of when it's warmer in there.
Yeah,
she's 88. Have you met her?
Mm-hmm. Yesterday. I'd like to talk to her, though. You think we bothered her?
No. Go in there before we say hello. She can't see very well, I think. You know, and she makes lots of things. She makes, you know, these little scrub things, you know, for dishes. You know. But, you know, they told you, they must not work for Sears if they said they could have done it cheaper. You remember they told you if you hadn't gone through Sears Roebuck, they could have done that for you?
Well, Sears sent them out there. I'll say that.
Yeah.
They did it for Sears.
Yeah.
They told me that if It hadn't went through Sears Roebuck, they could have done it a lot cheaper. And they said that if I knowed anybody else, I told them about Pat, Marvin's brother,
mm-hmm.
and about Miss Baltnart.
Mm-hmm.
And they said if they'd go to them and not go through Sears, that they'd get it lots cheaper. They'll kill me, won't they?
Yes. You know, I got the wrong idea about these things.
Mr. Miles? If I... if they do. Got the wrong idea about what?
I figured we were the only ones that ever had any trouble. But you see, they had trouble back then too. Way on back they used to have trouble. Now, Coleman come over here the other day, and I gave him a load of hay. And we were standing out there talking, and I said to him, did you ever know old man Sam Turner? You know, we talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard anything like that before. But he and old man Sam Turner had had it up and down.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I never thought Coleman would have trouble with anybody.
Well, Mr. Miles, there's some people that you can't help but have trouble with.
Yeah?
Do you know why? If you don't believe me, you ask Woody Coleman. Mr. Guthrie had plenty of hogs. John Woody had plenty of hogs, and other people had hogs. Mr. Sam Turner would get on his horse, and he'd go down there and he'd kill them. Couldn't nobody have no hogs on the lake but Mr. Sam Turner. That was his hog range.
Well, thunderation.
And then when this year no fence law come into effect, you know? And Mr. Guthrie rented the pasture from Owen, Illinois. Mr. Guthrie furnished the post, the labor, the wire, and Mr. Sam Turner made a deal with Mr. Guthrie to keep his cows in there, and Mr. Guthrie would get so much income of the calves. Now, I don't know what it was or anything about it, but when the time come for Mr. Sam Turner to sell his cows, Mr. Guthrie put in for his money, and they just told him that they didn't owe him anything. Mr. Guthrie didn't get a thing in the world out of it but one cow.
One cow.
Now, Marvin can tell you more about that than I can, because he knows about the deal.
Now, how far along was that? That was about the time of the war?
Yeah, just before.
Well,
maybe it was right after me. I don't rightly know, but...
I had pictured him, you know, as some nice old fella out there that never harmed anybody.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't harm anybody, but he sure had to have his way.
Woodard said that his boy Curtis got him into a lot of trouble.
He did. He sure did.
And then he'd try to get Curtis. He'd have to get Curtis out of it.
Yeah.
And he said one time. Now I may not remember this straight. Curtis had sold a saddle. And the fella come up to get it, and Woodard come with him, and he'd already paid for it. And Mr. Sam Turner was there, and he just lit into him. He says they wasn't going to have a saddle like that for that kind of money.
and he wouldn't let him have it. And Woodard said he kind of helped the fellow along, and Sam turned a lid in on him and just called him names. And he said he was drinking a little bit, but he wasn't drinking that much. And he said for 15 years they didn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever hear that? Anything like that, Suzanne? For 15 years they didn't speak.
And Mr. Sam Turner drove up to my house. Rode up to my house one evening. He'd been cow hunting, and Curtis was dead. And he says, "I want you to go out to the cemetery." And he said, "I want you to see the none of his old cheese. I want you to see the vases that we put on Curtis's grave." Said, "We put two vases, cost us $150 apiece." I said, "Why, Mr. Turner?" "Yeah, bragging about his money." And there never was no vases put on there.
Well, he just talked.
I'm going to tell you something. You might not believe it. But one time, Leola, his daughter that's living right yonder in Mickinopin now, was living in Atlanta, Georgia. And Miss Turner was kind of puny. And she wanted somebody to go stay a few days with Miss Turner. So she come and she asked me, and I said, "Well, sure I will." I thought a lot of Miss Turner. Well, the next day, I was coming in with a bucket of water. I'd been to the well. Mr. Sam Turner met me at the door, and Lord knows all things. He said, "My God Almighty," he said, "I don't know what in the world's going to come of us," he said. "People just rise up here on us and just eats all the damn time." And I said, "Mr. Turner," I said, "that's just too bad, ain't it?" And I went in the house and I told Miss Turner, I said, "Miss Turner," I said, "I'm going home." She said, "You are?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm gone." She said, "Well, honey, how are you going?" I said, "I'm going to walk through the woods." And she said, "No." She said, Jackie was living there. A colored man said, "Sarah will kill you." And I went home.
"My God Almighty," he said, "I don't know what we're going to do. People just come here and just eat."
Well, he just got his signals wrong.
I thought that coffee was a little strong.
No, it just got too cold.
I'm all funny.
Poor old fella.
Mr. Sam Turner?
Mr. Sam Turner.
He, he got to drink. Did he drink a little bit?
Did he drink a little bit? He drank a whole lot. As Woodard. Curtis did too, and Curtis used to whip him, and he whipped his mama. So I've been told, now I don't know, but I heard that he did.
Well, what sort of scrapes did Curtis get into? Did he go off in town and off around different places
and get into scrapes? He'd go to Mickinopin and get in a fight, or he'd go to Gainesville and get in a fight, or he'd go. I just do devilish things and get in jail, and Mr. Turner would go pay him out.
But he was a nice boy. You liked him.
Yes, I did. I liked Curtis Turner. Curtis Turner always treated me with respect.
And he said, I forget what you said, he said something cute over there one time. When you went over there, I forget.
Oh, you were sick, and they were taking care of you.
I was over there with his mama, and he said I might live 2 or 3 weeks yet.
Yeah. Is that right?
I might live 2 or 3 weeks longer.
Yeah.
I did. I like Bertie.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah.
You want to see that?
That's that more.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
We don't get too close on that side.
He must call Woodard some things. They didn't speak 15 years.
They were over there.
Just like I wrote the Swiss Roebuck Company thinks I am.
Isn't that something?
Oh, well.
Seriously, used to people like me who are too afraid to say anything.
Marvin wouldn't open his mouth.
Now, isn't that something?
He wouldn't open his mouth. He'd go and give them men $50 extra and wouldn't open his mouth. He ain't got a bit of sense.
Well, what I can't get over is the very thing you didn't want to happen, because that's why you didn't get just any old body.
That's right.
And Sears just sent out somebody. Weren't even carpenters.
What makes me feel bad is that you all, you know, thought they were going to do it right.
Well, everybody that I talked to, Miss Miles, said, get Sears.
Sure.
Miss Geiger, she told me, she said, Sears will do it and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and when we went in there and talked to Mr. Willis about it, he said this one thing. He said, we guarantee our work. He says, we stand behind it.
That is.
And then he called me up and tell me I owe $50 more for the woodwork that went in the house when they didn't put it in there.
I should done this thing. They fix him a little sandwich and yeah. I'll find him something else to do. That's one of the boys from up there at the campus. He wanted to work a little bit. And,
Ms. Miles, can I help you?
No, I'm just going to fix my hand with you. No, I can just visit while I do this.
Awesome.
Me and Marvin, we've had it. We've almost come in combat. Just because I wanted to open my mouth and he wouldn't let me. But, brother, I'm going to tell you, I got a telephone there and I can get him out. If I can get him out there when he's gone, I can just cuss all I want.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't say you worked darn hard for that boy. You told him how you worked for that boy.
You all, that money you all made way back there, Miss Mary. God almighty. They don't know how long it took to make all that money.
They don't know how long that it took to, they don't care.
Oh, no.
They don't care.
They're not going to take that long on theirs. I tell you what, you know, I think very often about that, you know, like we were talking. If you could make a little syrup and have some syrup skimmings and have a little cider, so to speak, yes, and sit around and talk and dance a little, I think it'd be a great relief, wouldn't it?
Be a great relief.
Yes, sir. Very simple.
You go get your axe and go out and your broad axe and go out in the woods, cut you down some pine logs. And get you some logs and make you a log house.
That's right. And then if you had something to cut them shingles, did you ever have them old wood shingles?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. This house that I mean, I was covered with wood shingles at one time.
Yeah, before they put the tin roof on.
And Mr. Guthrie taking them off and put the tin roof.
Yeah.
It didn't leak. The reason why we had it recovered, it looked worse than the dickens.
Yeah.
It just looked worse than...
Yeah.
And I told Marvin, I said, they ain't a bit of in the world do nothing to the sides and the roof looking like it.
Got any bread?
Oh, plenty of it out there. Suzanne,
get it. I don't get it.
I'm out of been open.
Okay.
Well, that's what you get into. Now, I've got to do the same thing. My roof got to leaking. And right up above us, right there, it was leaking down in this little, where I got my clothes
well,
over
there. Well, Mr. Miles, it'll sure ruin your pretty ceiling.
Yeah. Yes.
That ceiling's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and once you get that spot up there,
mm-hmm.
it's ugly from then on, isn't it?
Yes, there ain't nothing you can do to it but take it out and put some more.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
That beautiful ceiling, that is just beautiful.
Yeah. And I went back up in that attic place up there, and I saw where it was leaking, and it had rotted out that board.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get into it, you just don't know what.
That's right.
What it'll be.
But that there ceiling, that's so pretty. I wished I had ceiling like that in top of my front room.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very easy to put up. The only thing that's hard about it is getting the line straight.
Uh-huh. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a shame.
And it's just as light as it can be.
Miss Glisson told me, I never do hear about these things till it's too late. But she said that Cyril Buck was going to cover her house. They went out there and made her an offer. And she told him, no sir, that she weren't about to. And she said that she got a fella from Aradonda, and his name is Carl Rose. And she said he went out there and he charged her, I believe she said, $400 to shingle her house. And she said that there was some parts of it rotten, of the plywood, and he had to replace it. But she said he really done a good job on her house.
Yeah.
Well, I said, well, how come you didn't tell me about that before I got messed up with Sears Roebuck?
She can get her money's worth.
She can.
We ought to hang around her and learn a lesson or two. Hour or two.
I know I had.
Yeah.
But you know, I thought sure that I was doing the right thing when I dealt with Sears.
Yeah.
I sure did.
Well, I kind of relaxed and sat back myself. I figured, well, trouble's over now.
I thought I was doing the right thing, had made the right move.
Well, let me tell you, there's one thing about it. You got a hold of the right doctor at the right time. This doctor giving it down here.
Yeah.
You can't say that you didn't wasn't lucky one time. And I asked about him down there. One of my friends, Red Smith, down there at the tractor place. I says, do you know him? No, it wasn't Red Smith. It was over at the radio place. And he kept thinking, and they talked about him. Oh, they said he's the one that had the trouble with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to have been trifling in one thing or another, but he straightened out, apparently. I don't know, you see. I don't know.
But anyhow, he straightened you out. He got you on your feet.
He sure did. They seem to think that Dr. Gibney was trifling.
He was, what's the word? He was
fooling around,
you see.
Well.
At one time.
Uh-huh.
But that's been some time back.
He might have been. But I don't know. He's always been the same Dr. Gibney to me. I knowed him years and years ago.
Oh, you did?
Mr. Guthrie was down, and he had turned into yellow jaundice. And Mrs. Wheeler come up there and got him in her car and said, I'm going to carry this man to Dr. Gibney. And Dr. Gibney put him in the hospital and kept him 2 weeks. And he told Ms. Wheeler that he wouldn't give him 2 cents for him. He was such bad shape. But Dr. Gibney pulled him through. And I heard, now you can hear all kind of things, and it might not be true, and it might be. But I heard, Dr. Gibney didn't tell me this, but I heard that his wife was a spendthrift.
Oh, yeah.
And said that she spent a whole lot of money and couldn't give an account for it.
I
and
see.
Said that was their trouble.
I see. Well, maybe that was it.
But maybe he did fool around. He might have did
well,
because he got married.
No, I could have got it wrong, you see. And they wasn't absolutely sure who he was. And all I was going to say was that you had had... that he had pulled you through.
Mm-hmm.
You want Suzanne to take that out?
Yeah.
Take it out of the trailer.
Okay.
And give him a glass of milk or something.
Yeah.
And then, now, but see, they talk like he is a younger man than he is. But that's been way long time. That
yeah, Dr. Gibney ain't no young man.
Treated Mr. Guthrie.
Dr. Gibney. Been down there a long time.
You know, I think about it very often. I used to go over to your house and knock around and eat with you and all like that. Mr. Guthrie was there several years after I come down here, and I never did go in there and speak to him. Now, why didn't I ever just go and speak to him?
I don't know.
I never did. See, I never even seen him. I guess I figured he was sick or something. But I imagine, I have a feeling now that, you know, people that, you know, when they sort of can't get out much, they'd like for anybody to come in
mm-hmm.
and sort of talk.
He did.
Well, I remember a guy thinking that he was too sick to bother, you know.
No.
Probably he didn't need to have somebody he didn't know.
No, he did. He never was that way up until the very last.
Yeah.
Guy regrets that he didn't know him
up until the very last.
You know, if you got to be sick, it is awful nice to be sick in some way where your friends can visit with you, ain't
it's,
it?
It's the truth.
Now, you take Roberts over here, Robert Smith. He's one of my old friends. You see, he got this stomach trouble, this